Chapter 5. Strange Journey. I ended up under a bush. Peeking out, I saw the wagon stop about 3 inches above the ground. It made a big farting noise. "Evil smells already," cried the rusty knight, drawing his sword. He wasn't kidding. We all began to choke and gag, but the wagon seemed to have settled down. Irk sighed. "Don't expect me to drive that thing. I'd rather hop." I put him on the ground. Fireball fluttered down to take Irk's place on my shoulder. Arfur climbed into his winged wonder and began to pedal. With the wagon floating behind us, we headed into the forest behind Moongobble's cottage. I had never entered this forest before I met Moongobble. It is deep and dark, and the people of Pigbone tell strange tales about it. Now it did not frighten me. Moongobble and I often went there to gather things for his spells. But this time we were going to go way past the forest. I knew there might be weird and frightening things between us and the elf village. "How long will the journey take?" asked the rusty knight, who was clanking along at the rear. "That depends," said Arfur. "On what?" I asked. Arfur shuddered. "On whether we walk through Bogfester Swamp or make a big loop around it." Irk groaned, croaked in alarm. "Bogfester Swamp. I vote we go around, way, way around." "Why?" asked Moongobble. "My mother used to tell me stories about that swamp," said Irk. "Strange things happen there." I had never thought about Irk having a mother. I wondered what she was like. Of course, there were a lot of things I wondered about Irk, such as why he could talk. Whenever I asked him, he told me that there were things I was not yet ready to know. This really annoyed me. We made camp that night in a little grove beside a small waterfall. Going to sleep to the sound of the water was nice. It was like listening to music, which we don't get much of in Pigbone. The next day, we climbed up and up. The forest got thinner, and after a while, we came to a rocky place where the trees were gone altogether. Soon, we were walking along a cliff so high that looking down made me dizzy. Since Arfur and Fireball were flying, they did not have to stay on the path and would flap out over the deep drop as if it did not bother them at all. I could hardly stand to watch. It was harder to camp this night, but we finally found a cave where we thought we would be safe. All through the night, we heard strange cries in the distance. "Mountain monsters," said Arfur sleepily. "Don't worry, they don't like people." "That's what I'm worried about," I said. Arfur laughed. "Oh, I meant they don't like people for supper." I worried anyway. The next day we headed downhill. I was glad to see trees again, and even more glad when the steep drop was gone and I didn't have to be so careful where I walked. Suddenly, Arfur was fluttering near my head on the winged wonder. "Shh," he hissed. "Look over there." I glanced where he was pointing, then caught my breath. A unicorn stood beneath a nearby tree. It had a silky white mane and a gleaming horn that stuck straight out of its forehead. It was the most beautiful thing I had ever seen. The unicorn watched us for a few minutes, then it turned and trotted into the green darkness of the forest. Not long after, we came to a deep crack in the earth. It was about 30 feet across and about 100 feet to the bottom. What made it worse was that the bridge had fallen down. "Drat," said Arfur, "we'll have to go to the other way after all." "The other way?" I asked. "Through Bogfester Swamp," he said, his voice fearful. Chapter 6. Bogfester Swamp. Bogfester Swamp was even worse than Irk had said. Its waters were brown and murky and dotted with patches of green scum. A heavy mist hung over everything, making it hard to see, and a heavy stink made it even harder to breathe. "Is this the evil smell we came to fight?" cried the rusty knight, pulling out his sword. "Put that sword back," bellowed Irk. The rusty knight sighed and slid his sword into its sheath. "How are we going to cross this mess?" I asked. "There's supposed to be a path," said Arfur. "Well, where is it?" asked Irk. Arfur shrugged. "All I know is that the start of the path is marked by a pair of boulders that look like big fangs." "I'll go look for them," said Fireball. Launching himself into the air, he flew off to the right. An hour or so later, he came flapping back. "Not that way," he said, and flew to the left. 2 minutes later, he was back again. "They're right over there," he said, sounding disgusted. "Follow me." We tromped after him, Soon we saw two curving stones, each about 10 feet high. Fireball flapped his way between them. The path was narrow. The muck on either side bubbled and popped. Mist floated around our knees, making it hard to see where we put our feet. The soggy ground squished beneath our shoes. A few times I missed the path and slipped into water, sometimes up to my ankle, sometimes all the way to my knee. After an hour or so of this, Fireball, who has the best hearing of any of us, hissed, "What's that?" "What's what?" I asked. "I don't hear anything," said the Rusty Knight, which was almost certainly true. "That," said Fireball. This time I heard it too, an old lady's voice crying, "Help! Help! Save me!" "Drat," said Irk, "we'd better go see if we can help." Arfur looked alarmed. "If you step into the swamp, you could be lost forever," he warned. "Worse things than that can happen if you ignore an old lady who needs help," replied Irk, "especially in a place like this." "Let's all get on the wagon," said Moongobble. "Fireball, if I throw you a rope, can you pull us toward the screams?" "I can try," said the little dragon, sounding doubtful. We climbed onto the floating wagon. To my surprise, it didn't sink any closer to the ground than it was already. Then we discovered a new problem. We didn't have a rope. Moongobble groaned. "Now what?" "The belt from your robe," I said. "Use that." "Excellent idea," cried Moongobble. Taking the belt from around his waist, he tossed one end to Fireball, who was hovering just above us. Moongobble held the other end himself. Fireball lunged forward and we began to skim over the murky water. Foul mist swirled around us, so thick it was as if we were riding through clouds. But the trunks of the dead trees made it clear we were not in the sky. Soon we saw an old lady standing on a small rise of ground. Long brown tentacles rose from the water around her, trying to grab her. She was beating them with a stick. Whenever she hit a tentacle, it would slither into the water. At once another would rise from the other side of her. "Climb onto the wagon," shouted Moongobble as Fireball pulled us closer to her. The old woman reached for the wagon. As she did, a tentacle wrapped around her ankle. She whacked it with her stick. The tentacle let go. The Rusty Knight and I grabbed the old woman's arms and pulled her aboard. "Thank you," she gasped. "Thank you." A tentacle grabbed the edge of the wagon, tipping us sideways. "It's got us," shouted Fireball, flapping harder. The Rusty Knight smacked the tentacle with his sword. It let go and the wagon shot forward, nearly bumping Fireball in the rear. He began to fly even faster. Before long, we reached the far side of Bogfester Swamp. We all started to cheer, except Fireball, who fluttered back and collapsed next to me. "I'm pooped," he panted. "You did great," I whispered, patting his scaly head. Then all of us, except Fireball, climbed off the wagon. "Thank you," said the old woman, once we were on dry land. "I would have been swamp food if you had not come along." "What were you doing in Bogfester anyway?" croaked Irk. "Fleeing a great evil. My cottage is near an elf village. The elves used to be sweet. Now they have gone bad, very bad." "That's probably why they smell," said the Rusty Knight. "Have no fear, madam," said Moongobble. "We have come to end this evil." The woman's eyes grew wide. "Better stay away," she warned. "We cannot," replied Moongobble firmly. The old woman reached into her pocket and pulled out a black bag. "Then take this," she said. "It may save your lives."